Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Jim Hightower, a best-selling author, radio commentator, nationally syndicated columnist, and editor of the Hightower Lowdown, a populist political newsletter. He has spent the past four decades battling the powers that be on behalf of the powers that ought to be, consumers, working families, small businesses, environmentalists, and just plain folks. Twice elected Texas Agriculture Commissioner, Jim is an all-round populist agitator who believes that the true political spectrum is not right to left, but top to bottom. So welcome to Background Briefing, Jim Hightower.
Hey, Ian. It's great to be back with the background.
And it's good to talk to a 99%er.
Yes, indeed. Isn't this terrific? I'm just wildly enthused about the Occupy Together movement all across the country. We've got a good one going here in Austin, but also in Dallas and down in McAllen, Texas, surprising places.
Well, in contrast to that optimism that's being manifested on the streets across the country, if you watched last Tuesday's Republican presidential debate, you might as well be back in the 16th century. In fact, Governor Perry said the founding fathers were in America in the 16th century. So he's the guy.
I think those were the great great grandfathers.
So yeah, tell,
Perry,
tell me,
Perry really puts the goober in gubernatorial, I can tell you.
but of course, he beat you, didn't he? I mean, am I going to hold you responsible for Rick Perry?
I guess you could. Actually, it's Karl Rove beat me. Karl Rove, Perry was a Democratic House member in the legislature, and in 1990, Phil Graham and Bill Clements, then the Republican governor, wanted me out, as did the chemical lobbyists here in the state, because I promulgated some pesticide regulations that they did not like. Perry carried that legislation for them, and then Karl Rove, we were able to defeat them on their bills. But then Karl Rove went to Perry, got him to switch parties to run against me, and then Rove went out and raised about $3 million to throw it at the television sets with the kind of patented nasty negative lying ads that he later became famous for. And Perry was such an inept campaigner that Rove sent him out to West Texas just going to county farm bureau meetings to get him out of the way, because Perry knew nothing about Dallas or Houston or South Texas. So it ended up that Perry was sort of a no-show in his own campaign. It was really Rove who did it.
But Perry clearly, could you call him a political opportunist since he switched parties?
So.
He also didn't he basically lay the foundation of this pay to play politics that he's quite a practitioner of?
Exactly right. The experience with the chemical lobbyists, him carrying their bill, that taught him who would butter his biscuits, and they've been buttering his biscuits ever since. Not just the chemical lobbyists, but big business generally, big drug companies, the giant waste disposal outfits, and others have put the money in his pocket, and he in turn does governmental favors for them.
So, Jim, So, Jim Hightower, the candidate that you mentioned, Rick Perry, that was Karl Rove put up to run against you, and essentially it was Karl Rove's campaign. He really won, not Perry. Perry was a poor politician on the stump. How would you rate him today? Because my understanding, even though he's floundered, he came in top of the polls for the Republicans, and then he's gone down. And clearly, the Republican establishment want Mitt Romney. But the base probably will support Perry because they, the particularly the Christian fundamentalists, simply will not vote for a Mormon. That's my understanding. So how would you rate his chances, notwithstanding that he's proven to be a bit of a dud?
Well, not very good. He is now a very good campaigner. He's good on the stump, and he is good in kind of going into cafes and shaking hands and, you know, making people perk up. He is not, however, as we have seen, good when he has to be on his own in a debate anytime he gets any sort of serious questioning. You know, Ted Williams, the great baseball player, once used to advise rookies, if you don't think too good, don't think too much. Well, that's Perry's problem, as he does not think too good, and that's now showing up on the campaign trail. So one other factor is this: there's so many uglies in his background that yeah, while the base likes his or the hardcore far right wing Sarah Palin, Michelle Bachmann type Republicans like his extremist stuff on he's a tenther, he's a birther, you know, he doesn't want government involved in anybody's life except his own, because he's done very well on the government payroll over the years. You know, there's so many ugly things beneath him, though, in terms of his pay-to-play style of governing, his corporate cronyism that you mentioned earlier, and then his corruption, because he's got a lot of, you know, he became a multimillionaire while being in Texas politics, and that's not because he was making millions of dollars in salary. It's because he got favors done for him as well.
So, Jim Hightower, just to finish up on this, because I want to talk to you, obviously, about the event that you'll be at here in Los Angeles for this coming Saturday, October the 15th. Does this mean, though, that given the extent to which Mormonism is an anathema to Christian fundamentalists, and that the religious right seems to have taken over, if not the Republican Party, certainly the Republican primary process, and Perry's first event that before he announced on the eve of his announcement was to hold a kind of religious rally down in Houston, and I think the message he put out there was, "I'm not a Mormon." So, in spite of what we're saying about him, is there still a chance that because of the Republican primary process and its domination by the Christian right, that he still could become the nominee?
Well, there's always a chance. You know, we've seen weird things happen in, you know, recent years. So, yeah, there's a chance. But it's not looking real good for him, because it's not just the establishment is opposed to him, but he's running fourth in polls in Iowa of Republican caucus participants, likely participants. He's running fourth in New Hampshire. He finished in the big straw poll down in Florida, not only behind Herman Cain, but down there with Rick Santorum. So he's got some, and at this values conference that was held a couple of weeks ago, he was expecting to win that one, and instead he ran about fourth or fifth in it as well. So I think he's got a heap of hurt. You know, Ian, they say that the higher the monkey climbs, the more you see of its ugly side. And I think that's what's happening to Rick Perry.
Well, I guess all those big oil men that are funding him are going to be disappointed. Jim Hightower, let's turn to the event on Saturday that you're coming out here to Los Angeles for. You are speaking along with John Nichols. It's an event Progressive Democrats of America are putting on. What are you going to be talking about? I guess the theme of PDA is healthcare, not warfare.
Well, it is one of their themes, but they are the overt, proud, unabashed pushers of a solid progressive agenda within the Democratic Party. Obviously, we're not getting that out of the White House or out of the Congress, but we won't get it until we build a grassroots network of solid progressives, electing a good number of them to Congress and to state legislative seats and governorships and et cetera. And that's the real mission of progressive Democrats, is to see that we really put progressives in office, and thereby we put a little bit of progress in progressive.
So the movement that's afoot across the land, which is spontaneous and totally unconnected to the Democratic Party, it is a kind of authentic version, if you will, of the Tea Party, which pretended to have populist roots and may well have had some populist roots, but was essentially co-opted by the Kochs and orchestrated and organized by your nemesis, Karl Rove and Dick Armey. So I've spoken to a lot of people in Zuccotti Park and down here in Los Angeles at Occupy LA and City Hall, and they don't feel that they belong to any political party. So is there any kind of way to find a marriage in the future? Because the Republicans very cleverly use the Tea Party to elect, yes, what, 60 so congressmen and completely capture the legislative agenda in the Congress. Is there any way that this energy can be tapped and that progressives can get representation in Congress?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know whether that'll be through the Democratic Party or not. That's up to them to decide. Nobody is going to be able, from my perception of who these folks are, nobody's going to be able to co-opt them, direct them, guide them. They're going to be making up their own minds, and they're doing it in a very little-d democratic way. I'm very impressed with the organization, contrary to what you're hearing in the establishment media. These people are actually very tightly organized and very tightly focused, as you indicate. Theirs is a true populism. The Tea Party came into existence because of the Wall Street bailout. And then Dick Armey and the Koch brothers with some of their front groups came in and diverted them off to be supporters of the corporate agenda. How ironic is that? Including deregulating Wall Street. So off they went into the anti-populism. But these folks are squarely focused on financial and corporate power in America and the use of that power to purchase our government wholesale and cause that government to turn its back on the middle class as well as the poor in our country. So it is a genuine progressive movement by instinct and by issues and belief. Now, where it goes, I don't know. But yeah, at some point, they will be a political force. How big? Nobody knows. But at the very least, they bring us fresh hope and new ideas to, put a little move in the movement. And that alone is worth our support and encouragement. So I'm definitely behind it. And, wherever it ends up politically, we'll have to see where they want to go.
So, Jim Hightower, do you think, though, that there's a lesson to be learned here? If the far right of the Republican Party can be repackaged as the Tea Party and capture the party and capture the national political agenda, not to mention the attention of the press, Fox News, of course, being an arm of the Tea Party, up to the propaganda arm, if you will. Why not progressives capturing the Democratic Party? Obviously, Clinton and company sold it out to Wall Street, and the DLC types are in control of the party, but they're completely bankrupt. They don't have a message. The public is moving way ahead of them. I don't understand, because the fatal thing about third parties, if you can see what happened with Ralph Nader and others, is that they just split the vote and you end up with the George Bushes or the Ronald Reagans or the Richard Nixons. And that's the historical record, clear as you can get. So I've never understood that, why there can't be an insurrection on the left as there was on the right.
Well, I think that's what you're seeing. There is. And there are a number of us, of course, who've been out there over the years hammering this, and Progressive Democrats of America, and coming to L.A. this Saturday for an event. That's exactly what they're all about. Now we have new energy that's being developed. Now, it's not just those folks who are in the street, but the fact that overwhelming majorities of the American people agree with them on most of their fundamental issues. and certainly on their general thrust, which is that too few people control too much of the money and power, and they're using that control to get more for themselves at our expense. So that is a very strong populist and very popular populist message. Now, what that can generate is increased turnout. That's where we've been losing. We're not losing because people have turned conservative or Republican. Here in Texas, for example, Rick Perry runs around talking about how he's the very, very popular here in Texas, had a sweeping reelection victory last year, 58% of the vote. What he doesn't tell you is we had the lowest voter turnout in the country. We had 33% of the people vote. That means he's the choice of about 18% of the people. The sad thing is the Democrats couldn't get 19% because they quit being Democrats. They quit talking in language that workaday people can appreciate and hear themselves in. And until we do that, until we get back to those populist roots, until we begin to respond to these kids who are expressing a genuine populism and shouting at the Democratic Party, hey, here we are, you know, if you really want to start winning elections, this is the way to go. We'll see. But, you know, I know that there are plenty of good folks in the Congress who are paying a whole lot of attention to what's being said there, and you might notice that even Barack Obama is now running around making some noise, you know, seems to be listening to his inner FDR just a little bit, at least. So, you know, I don't discount the fact that that these people are going to have a big impact on our politics. It might not happen immediately, but I think in the long term, these folks are going to, with their message, with their enthusiasm, with their energy, with their idealism, these folks are going to move our movement forward.
Well, Jim Hightower, I just spoke yesterday with Jesse LaGreca, who's just came out of this movement. He's been there from the beginning in Zuccotti Park, and he was on the Sunday talk show. First of all, he did a takedown of a Fox producer who was in there to try and dismiss them and do a right. kind of hit job on him. That went viral, but you know, ABC put him on their Sunday Gab Fest, and he made this powerful point. He said, "I'm probably the first working class guy you've ever had on this show." And I got, when I was just talking to him yesterday, and I got this feeling that, you know how McCain used the phony working man, Joe the plumber, and the Republicans only get elected if they get Democratic votes. That's just the way that it works in this country. There are not enough millionaires and billionaires, and they rely upon the so-called Reagan Democrats to get them over the top. So you have a party that's highly organized. They've disenfranchised 5 million potential Democratic voters in 2012 already. So they play pretty hard ball. But the other party, which has a hard time getting its message out, and more importantly, has a hard time inspiring people to vote, it's got the natural numbers, but it doesn't inspire them. Now, Obama did in 2008. My feeling is that it's people like Jesse LaGreca that are going to inspire people in 2012.
That's how I get inspired, by doing a lot of traveling. I've been just about every place that's got a zip code, and this is not just this year. Everywhere I go, I find people who are on the move, who are doing things, very progressive things, who are fighting and winning, who are building different kinds of businesses, creating new kinds of political forums and avenues, who are working through healthcare to make that available to just regular people. Again and again, tremendously inspiring folks at the local level, and that is what I totally agree with you. That is what is going to inspire other people, and I think folks are inspired right now by what's happening on Wall Street and then on the Occupy Together cities, more than 200 of them around the country. This is something big.
Jim Hightower, thank you so much for joining us here today.
Always glad to be with you, Ian.
So I was just speaking then with Jim Hightower, who's a best-selling author, radio commentator, nationally syndicated columnist and editor of the Hightower Lowdown, a populist political newsletter. He has spent the past four decades battling the powers that be on behalf of the powers that ought to be, consumers, working families, small businesses, environmentalists, and just plain folks. Twice elected Texas Agriculture Commissioner, Jim is an all-round populist agitator who believes that the true political spectrum is not right to left, but top to bottom. We're going to take a brief station break, and we'll be back talking with the son of America's top spymaster, who has made a film about his mysterious father.